Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. We hear the opening verses of John chapter 10. It's called the Good Shepherd chapter, and I think you can see the reason why already. I'm reading from the Evangelical Heritage Version, which just came out actually this summer now in the Psalms and in the New Testament. John 10, 1 to 10. Amen, amen, I tell you. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own sheep, he walks ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration in speaking to the people, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I tell you. I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of our good shepherd, dear fellow sheep, the sheep of his pasture. As we gathered at the funeral home this past Wednesday, it was the first time I remember the parking lot full. And they were having a funeral, as we were told, for a child. Sad occasion. Lots of people to turn out at that time. Your heart just goes out to people who have to suffer the loss of a loved one, a life cut short so soon. May God grant his comfort and peace to the family and loved ones to point them to Christ, who is our sole comfort, especially at times like that when the soul just needs what only God in his mercy can provide. But we are here today to rejoice in a full life. Anyone would look at Ardell Matthews and say, 94 years? Actually, people keep on saying, really? 94 years? I think the impression was maybe late 70s or early 80s, but not 94. But by any stretch, by any look these days, you'd have to say she had a full life. And that is a blessing, something to receive from the Lord in joy and thanksgiving. And think of how she lived her life, Ardell, enjoying reading and daily devotions and reading the newspaper. All notes from Jan for me here. She enjoyed cooking, watching Jeopardy, cleaning. Now that's outstanding, isn't it? Enjoyed cleaning, enjoyed church. She enjoyed playing dominoes, card games, working various secretarial jobs. She worked in agriculture for the federal government, enjoyed visiting folks in her apartment building. Ardell seemed to stay forever young, maybe partly because of her love for sports, baseball in particular. And, you know, even those helmet-clad cheeseheads from across the river, be careful how you say that over here, enjoyed working at the thrift store, Mission Warehouse, just over in Little Canada here, attended and taught Sunday school, sang in the church choir. Maybe some of you even sang back then with her or were her Sunday school students. Regular attendance in church as often as she was able. She was just there. So a life well lived. Beautiful life. Life to the full. But what was it that made Ardell different? Why was it that when you finished talking with Ardell, she was one of those people you just always felt better after you talked to her? There's plenty of negative people in the world. And it's hard not to be one yourself sometimes, right? But when you came away from Ardell, there was always that glow there. There was a happiness there and a joy. She would want you to know today where that came from. She would want you to realize that it was not something that originated from inside her. Because if we try to look for this on the inside, we come up lacking. But when you find it, as Ardell did, as she would want you to hear this today, it's so full and rich. It's the kind of caring that just gets bigger. You know, some would look at Ardell and say, well, she never had a family. And then wonder, well, how could she be so at peace and happy? But wouldn't she correct that? Never had a family of her own? I can just hear, don't tell me that. Loved ones, family, cousins, nephews, nieces, dear Jan, wanting to make sure that Ardell knew someone was there right up to the end to say, I love you, Ardell, you're loved. Speaking really for all of us, knowing and loving Ardell. What is that about a life that ultimately can only be explained by love that was there from youth to old age? Where does it come from? To get the story straight, you'd almost have to go back through the years to when Ardell taught Sunday school. Picture yourself sitting in her classroom and Ardell saying, children, we are all sinners. Because, you know, kids have to have that explained to them. You can just tell when something happens at home, he did it, she did it, now somebody else did it, couldn't have been me. At every age, we think we're just fine the way we are. We're pretty good people. But Ardell would correct that in Sunday school. She would take you back and totally agree with what the Lord inspired through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, where he gathers our true state together from lots of different prophets, holy writers inspired by the Holy Spirit from hundreds and thousands of years before. This is just God's truth about all of us down through the ages. The Lord writes through Paul, Romans 3, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Should it surprise us, my dear friends, that we see this in society today and hear it in the news and see this in a country that seems more fragmented than ever? Is it not really ultimately because we all have a problem admitting the way we are by nature to begin with? The Holy Spirit puts it right again in Romans 3. A few verses later, it says, there is no difference. Here the playing field is all just leveled out. There's no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's God in His holiness. Here we are in our sin, and it doesn't matter how many times you go to church or how holy you think you are or how holy the world thinks you are. It's like taking a long run at it, and the most holy person can jump as far across that valley of sin that separates us from God, and everyone will fall short. It doesn't matter if you fall short 1 foot from the other side or fall short 1 foot from this side. We're all just as dead. God does not discriminate. He calls us all to repentance. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now we're getting somewhere. From where we are by nature, from what we cannot help ourselves, to where that real love comes from. Not from inside us, but from the heart and mercy of God. See, Ardell's eternal life began already when she received that word-powered water that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, calls the washing of rebirth and renewal. This is from Titus chapter 3. God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. That's the born-again washing and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is not some empty hope like, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope we win the Super Bowl or something like that. This is the living hope that we have in him who lived and died and lives again and speaks to us in John chapter 10. You heard those words before. This hope is so living and so certain that when Jesus spoke these words, he spoke in a way that probably sounded strange when I read this to you before. It was one of the things we had to consider in the Evangelical Heritage Version. It was my privilege to translate the Gospel of John, and it was really spectacular to come to this Hebrew word always in pairs in John. He's the only writer of the 66 books in the Bible who does this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Usually the Amen, which is the oldest word in human language, you could almost say. The Chinese say Amen. Everybody says Amen, and it goes back to the ancient Hebrew. It means solid, certain, sure. So when we come to the end of a prayer, we usually seal that prayer up and say Amen. Used to do that all the time in our hymns, too. That was the custom always to sing Amen at the end of the hymns. But when you look in John, in the Greek, it's actually transliterated from the Hebrew. So the Greek sentence starts with Amen, Amen, and then goes on in the Greek. This is 25 times in the chapters of John. So it's not an accident. It's something that's done on purpose. One of our members hearing this said that it's almost as if Jesus was giving one amen for himself and one amen for his hearers as he's saying something that just is absolutely sure, absolutely certain. Little kids pick up on this too. One of the moms said, as I was reading this in the winter of 2014 while the translation was going on, that her little boy, who could just barely walk and talk at the time, was going around the house saying, Amen, amen, I say to you. Amen, amen, I say to you. And it's Jesus' words here. This is something important. It's absolutely certain. Amen, I tell you. They didn't understand when he used this illustration about the shepherd and the sheep. So he said it again, I am the door for the sheep. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, or we would say in overflowing abundance. It's a word that literally means to overflow here. So unless you have spent an awful lot of time with sheep, you probably don't understand Jesus' illustration here. Part of the problem is we're from here in the West, and we herd sheep typically with well-trained dogs. That's how we drive sheep. But they do it differently in the East, which would be down into Africa and up into Israel, where King David was a shepherd boy. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. They had a certain way, and here's how you can picture this. Just imagine you've got a fenced-in area that you would call a sheepfold, and that there are mixed flocks in there. So how is the Eastern shepherd going to separate out his sheep from all the other ones that are in there? They got to separate them out. I don't know how they do this in the West. Maybe it's the same way. But in the East, what the shepherd does is just goes in and starts walking around among the sheep, and he starts talking to them. And they recognize his voice. And as he walks out the gate then, they follow him just because they recognize the sound of his voice. They won't follow a stranger, Jesus says, but they will follow the one who knows them by name. the one who cares for them. They have this sense, this instinct that is so true of sheep more than any other livestock, that they need absolute care. Otherwise, they can't survive on their own. Their whole life and their whole existence is dependent on the skill and the caring of the Good Shepherd. A pastor friend of mine caring for his sheep years ago told me that they came, him and this flock, along a country road that was paved and it had rained. And so there was just a little skin of water, you can imagine, maybe half an inch deep across a few yards of that road. He said he could not get those sheep to cross that water. It's only this deep. They couldn't tell. But they didn't know his voice. He was a stranger to them. Finally, he went over and he picked up one of the sheep and carried it across the water. And then the sheep would follow. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus? How he picks us up and carries us at those times when we really need him to do that. And we need that assurance and that encouragement. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, he says, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He goes on to say how dearly beloved and saved we are by this shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. This is before he died on the cross. And he's making a prediction here that either makes him crazy or Christ the Son of God. He can't be some good man in between there. Because he's predicting he will lay down his life for the sheep and then take it up again. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So Jesus, as the good shepherd, can do that and know that his sheep will follow him as he leads them out by name. They will never follow a stranger. They do not know the voice of strangers. All through her life, Ardell was listening to the voice of her good shepherd, echoed by pastors, which is a Latin word for shepherd, under shepherds of the good shepherd. If any of us had gone off the beam, so to speak, and started to give our own opinion as if it were the Word of God, instead of speaking the truth of Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, Ardell would not have stayed to listen. She would have left, because my sheep hear my voice. They will not listen to the voice of a shepherd. But as long as that voice of Jesus was ringing true, if she could possibly be there in the Lord's house to hear his word, that's where she'd be. She wanted to hear the voice of her shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. It is that sure and certain when you trust in Jesus as your Savior. This is the kind of love that made Ardell so cheerful. It's the reason why, even though almost 5 years ago, when her dear sister and life companion Virginia went home to glory to be with Jesus, Ardell could press on. Lonely, yes, there's tears, but there's always through those tears the joy of the Good Shepherd watching over, caring for his sheep, carrying us when we're too weak to walk ourselves, and keeping us close to him. This is really the love that the Lord had throughout her life, from the time that she was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, every time she received the body and blood of the Lord in with and under the bread and wine, all through life being nurtured and cared for by the Good Shepherd, who really never runs out of goodness and grace, because he wants us to enjoy life abundantly, to the overflowing abundance. So let me leave you with this picture as you think of this invitation that the Lord is really extending to all of you today and everyone you know as well, that you would hear this and then pass it on to someone else. Christ died for all. That doesn't leave anyone out. So that means Christ died for you, no question. Died in your place, died to bring you home to glory. He wants you to just trust him. Trust him as you do when you go to the faucet and you turn on the water and you expect there's going to be water there. Most of you know that that comes from one of these really tall tubes, the way they used to build them, at least I've seen different ones. But this long column and then the bubble at the top. The thing of it is, when it comes to God's love and his mercy, that bubble at the top goes out into outer space and reaches beyond everything that we can see or know about in the created universe. It is literally boundless. When you turn on the water of life in word and sacrament, which is the way the shepherd wants to feed and water his sheep today, you're never going to run out. Reminds me of when we moved from the Dakotas to Denver, Colorado. I was 5 years old, and my mother still likes to talk about how she would just go to the faucet and drink the water because that high mountain water tasted so sweet compared to the iron water that came out of those wells on the prairie. It's so pure and clean, and there are free refills. You never run out when you come to his word, when you receive the sacrament, when you think on your own baptism. It's the love that the Lord wants to permeate your life so that you will always be overflowing with more than you need for yourself, but to give to those around you. Memorial Day 2017, the Lord called dear Ardell Matthews from grace to glory. There is no better way to remember her than to imitate her. To follow that example of one who just wanted to hear her shepherd's voice and wanted to share that boundless, overflowing love with everyone she knew. I am the good shepherd, your shepherd. Amen.